You're listening to the Big Locals Podcast. I'm Ian Jimeno, your host, and we're chatting with the innovative, eccentric, and movers and shakers of the Denver community. Stick around and listen to the amazing stories, bright ideas, and creative minds from Denver's heart. Shop local, support local, Big Locals Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Big Locals Podcast. I am Alexa Hess, owner of Yummy Lotus Pepper Jam, and my favorite spot in Denver are the local farmers markets. Hi, Ian.
Hey, what's up, Alexa? I am super excited to have you on, and what a coincidence. My favorite part about Denver are the farmers markets as well.
It's so hard. How not crazy to is love that? Them.
Honestly, it's more of the nostalgia factor for me now because I feel like that's where I first met you, over at the farmers markets. And that is how I first got my few friends during COVID time, because I came here in August of 2020 and I can't go to restaurants. I can't go to bars. And a lot of these restaurants or bars, they're like huddled into tents on the street.
Right, yeah.
As you're opposed to inside buildings.
Yeah, even if you went, you're in your own little igloo.
Totally. So yes, I feel like there's a really nice aspect to it of like, hey, I can finally meet these people without masks now.
Yeah.
But farmers markets are near and dear to my heart now. And I go to them as often as I can just to meet new people and see what's going on in the local markets. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah. I mean, it is so much fun to be at them and working them. But on the rare occasion that I actually get to shop them, it's even more special. I feel like, you know, not only are they my friends, but they have some of the best products and like just a great way to support local, but to get those items that you crave that you can't necessarily get at the grocery store.
100%. But there are some stores that people can get Yummy Lotus jams. So
yes.
We can definitely touch on that later on in the episode. But maybe just to give a 3D perspective, obviously people know and love the Yummy Lotus jams, but what about you, Alexa? Like, how did you eventually end up in the Denver market?
Yeah, so I am originally from San Diego, but I moved to Colorado when I was 5. So I've lived in Colorado for a long time. The farmers markets kind of came into my life in 2020. Well, actually, that is not true. That is not true. I started doing farmers markets in 2019, but I only did one. I did the Aspen Grove Wednesday farmers markets. That was my first intro to the farmers market scene and starting to get my business out in like the public eye. But 2020, like you said, just has like a nostalgia special place. I feel like the world shut down. And then towards the end, we were kind of able to start, you know, rebuilding it and going out and being in these little spaces that everyone was just craving that human connection. And so, yeah, when you talk about it, I feel like there's the before and then there's the after. And the after seems to be the most prominent thing that you think about now, because we're like, can we just forget that this little middle part happened? But yeah, 100%. I feel like the community farmers market before that versus after, like I really have like a friendship and a community driven like appreciation now that I didn't necessarily have before. But yeah, we do 5 farmers markets now and are kind of all over the place. And so, yeah, that's definitely like my main business focus is being at the farmers markets.
Yeah. Awesome. And just sticking around to like you growing up here in the Denver area, I'm sure that you've seen the transformation that Denver has gone through.
Yeah.
Especially even, I mean, I'm sure you make your way back to San Diego every once in a while to see friends, family, and whoever. But here in Denver, I mean, even with the limited amount of time that I've been here, that like just 3 years, it's insane the amount of growth that's been happening here. So anything you want to touch on that as far as maybe the food scene or the farmers market scene that has evolved over time?
I mean, all of it. I mean, the neighborhood that I currently live in, I kind of grew up in the same area, and like, it used to be fields all the way around, like the couple little neighborhoods that there were. Now there's like a Super Target and like 20 restaurants. And like we used to shoot fireworks off in that field, but now there's a hospital there. And so like it's just been so crazy as far as the growth. But the food and the farmers market, I mean, it has grown exponentially. We have some of the best restaurants, best chefs, you know, some of the most incredible local businesses at the farmers markets that have popped up that, you know, I just don't feel like was here before. You know, and like I said before, like at least the appreciation and like the support to support local has grown tremendously, which I feel like breeds that artisan and, you know, livelihood that other people are starting to feel and appreciate.
Yeah, 100%. Having the that transformation and seeing the farmers markets grow, even with you not even being a part of it, like before you actually came out with Yummy Lotus, I'm sure there was a whole bunch of people prior and over those decades, people have just been trying to find a way to have their products sold in a more public fashion. So maybe this is something that you can touch on, because I'm curious myself, and I've done some pretty basic research on like why local businesses here in Denver or Colorado in general are so aplenty and supportive versus any other state. Because I feel like there weren't too many in San Diego, and there were some like every once in a while, because we grew up in the same area, right? Or same city, I guess. But why is it so special here versus any other state that I'm aware of?
I wish I could touch more on that. I mean, I'm not too well versed on like, you know, other states and all of that, but I just feel like there is the community aspect and like the friendship that has been built that just really kind of amplifies that. City Park used to be run by different organizers. And Margo and Peter are kind of like the best example of this that I can come up with, who are the current owners and organizers of the City Park Farmers Market. But like that specific farmers market just feels like family. It just feels like home. Just the way that everyone kind of connects and collaborates and kind of builds off of that. It's something that you just crave, you know? And so I feel like having that kind of environment and being a small business, like it can be kind of lonely sometimes to go on this journey by yourself. And so to have that platform, I feel like that's more so what makes it thrive and people crave it and want to like sell their products in that environment, is that you just really get that community and friendship that like you would get from like a traditional job that you don't necessarily get from being an entrepreneur.
100%. I've noticed that too. And I guess I wouldn't pin myself completely as like a farmer's market kind of like business because I'm a real estate agent, but I am a local business in a way.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So there's a lot of people that might see these other businesses and myself, like just comparing and contrasting the two.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree with you on the loneliness aspect of it, because there's a lot of my friends and family even that still have these regular W-2 jobs, and it's nice to just clock in, clock out, and don't have to worry about anything else ever again. But there is the sort of benefit of keeping your reputation, your brand, and just starting something from the ground up that you can't get in a W-2, at least in my opinion. And
absolutely.
Maybe you want to rise the ranks, but it just doesn't feel the same, right?
Well, and not only that, but especially in real estate, like your job is very community driven too. You know, like you have to build those relationships, that trust, which, you know, is the same for a product. Like no one's just going to walk up and trust that what I have is going to be quality or good or, you know, the things that they hold their values to. Same for you. You really have to build that recognition and that trust in those relationships. But as far as like your job, like it's up to you. It's your time, your hours, your drive. And, you know, you're being a real estate agent or in a brokerage or on a team, but like that still is an individual business and your livelihood that you're holding in your hand. So being able to have that like central congregating area just feels really lively and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how many meetups and people I meet now being in this business, it's almost revivalist. It just makes me feel, I feel now that I'm more of an extrovert than I am an introvert. I mean, I also got to thank Starbucks for that too. I have to talk to people in that case, you know, but at the same time, like I have to meet people and it forces me to, you know, want to provide a lot of value. And in return, I get their friendship at the same time. And speaking of friendship and the farmers markets at the same time, you and Katie Green, the boozy botanist, if you will, are almost inseparable at these farmers markets. You're often seen like neighboring each other as far as booths go, especially at City Park.
It's so funny. They don't even have to, we don't even have to tell them to be next to each other anymore. It's just like a spoken thing that people know that we go side by side. Like, that's it. Like, don't separate us. We're together.
Totally. So I've noticed that. So, and now I know it's mainly because people know this and it's not by choice.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, we don't request it. It just, they just do it. They're just like, these two are two peas in a pod. They go side by side.
Yes. 100%. So how did this friendship even spark? Is it through the growth of each other's businesses, or was there something else? And when's a crossover going to happen, by the way?
Yeah, well, I feel like, you know, we met you at the around the same time that I met her. So it was the night markets, the Made by Us events. I think the very first time we were at Acreage Brewery in Lafayette, I think is what it's called.
That cidery, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. That place. It was freezing cold. We couldn't feel our toes. It was snowing. We were right next to each other. And she was like, hey, do you have nice hands? And I was like, weird question. My nails are painted. And she was like, well, I need like a hand model. I have like working hands. Can you hold my product? And I was like, yeah, I'll hold your product. And so she took a picture. And that was how we like had our first conversation and met. And then I bought her t-shirt at another event and we just kind of clicked. And I don't know, we say that we're like sisters. So we just, you know, have just built this really lovely relationship that is not only farmers market based, but just about encouraging one another. And for a long time we teased, we're like, do we just need to like pop up a tent in a backyard for us to hang out? Cause like, we only hang out at like the farmer's markets. Like, can we transition to like real friendship? Do we need to like just set up the tent? And like, so it was just so funny. We were like, no, I think we can do it without, but it's a great.
This is so good. And Katie does a really good job. Like just having these interesting, because in a way, I mean, I'm just going to super analyze that conversation, that initial one.
Yeah.
Because number one, she's complimenting you. You have lovely hands. And then number two, she needs help with her own products. So it's almost like you're helping out a friend already.
Right.
And taking pictures with her own products. So I feel like she's a master of socializing already.
Yeah.
So, pro.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. She is something special. She, like, the way that she, her brain works and the things that she like ventures off to, like she does flower workshops and she wants to do like a tie-dyeing event with her Boozy Botanist shirts and like all these different avenues. Like, I just love how different areas that she's able to like kind of focus in. I feel like she drives a lot of my inspiration because I'm like, well, like I got a product, like I sell it at the farmer's market. This is my spiel. And she's like, but there's so much more than that. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Brilliant business mind. And she's building that brand of Boozy Botanist on her own. It sounds like and looks like. So, I mean, enough about Boozy Botanist. I mean, I'm going to have Katie Green on here one more time. I've had her on maybe like season one, but I need to have an update with what the heck she's going on these days.
Yeah.
But let's go back to Yummy Lotus. I mean, how did it start? I mean, it sounded like you started in 2019. So what was the progression of, hey, this is just a thought in my head to, yeah, let's sell this?
Yeah, so I have a background in restaurant work and catering. So front of house, server, did all of that. Transitioned to like a breakfast restaurant and they were building a catering team. And so I joined on their staff and started to create like the client menus and cook on site and just really loved like feeding people and that like relationship aspect. I mean, who doesn't love a good meal and, you know, sharing conversations over that? So I kind of started with that. I knew that I wanted to own my own business one day. Both of my parents are both entrepreneurs. My mom in the real estate world, doing mostly appraisals, but also has her license as well. And then my dad builds custom homes. So they've always like run their own schedules, done their own thing. And I'm like, oh, that just is, I was bred that way, I guess. But yeah, so I was making cupcakes for coworkers and doing that for their birthdays and stuff and doing like unique fillings for the cupcakes. And I have complete admiration for anyone who makes like a product that has to be ready like within like a day or two of consumption, because like it's so much work. Like bread companies, Moon Raccoon, Not Your Mama's Cupcakes, like these people slave the day before. Like, I don't think anyone understands, like, you know, like, and farmers getting up so early. I'm like, wow, you guys just, the work ethic in that is something else. But anyways, I was like, I don't know that I want to do that necessarily, but I do know that I'd love to create a product and feed people. So I did some like granolas and some jams and some butters and dabbled in kombucha a little bit. Did a couple test farmers markets, actually out in Texas with my dad where he was currently living. And yeah, the jams really took off. We had four initial flavors. And so that was back in 2016. And I kind of dormanted it all. Wasn't really ready to kind of start something of my own yet. And then, yeah, I think it was November of 2018. I was like, I think I'm ready to bring it back, you know? So when I did that, I was like, what worked? You know, I don't want to be a jack of all trades necessarily. I want to pick something and do that something really well. So I brought back the jams, and I have now have 8 flagship flavors and do rotating seasonals each month. So I have probably about 15 to 20 like recipes that are in our lineup. So yeah, that's kind of, I always tease, I'm like, jam chose me. I didn't necessarily choose jam. I just was really good at it and realized that I could make really good cocktails and food and all the things using it. And so yeah, I'm like, never was like the have a jar of jam in my fridge all the time, but it definitely has some really great uses that I feel like people tend to forget about. You know, they're like toast in the morning. I'm like, no, let me tell you.
I mean, let's stay on that same vein, because that is pretty much my understanding. I mean, like, before I met Yummy Lotus jams, my typical jam use was on toast, bagels, and possibly charcuterie boards. Is there anything else that the not knowledgeable person should be using this?
Yeah, I mean, mocktails and cocktails. We do have sugar in our product, but it's less than a traditional store-bought. It's less than like a simple syrup or any of those like heavily sugared products that you would get, but it's got great flavor. So you add a tablespoon into a cocktail and you have that ready-made flavor that's super easy that you don't have to sit there and craft like in your kitchen. One of my favorites is a blackberry mojito. Or the mocktail version, I really love to do like a soda water, splash of lemonade, some fresh mint, and then that blackberry jam in there. And it's phenomenal. It tastes so good. And then right now we have an apple pie jam, which makes like really great like pinwheels. So you just take a nice like puff pastry, smear it on top, lay some like fresh apples in there, roll it up and bake it. And so you can do like fun sweet treats or glazed meats or all of those fun.
Oh my goodness. I feel like there's just an endless world of where you can use this stuff already.
Yeah. I feel
like such an amateur already.
Well, it was initially, you know, done just to preserve it, right? Like that's why they canned the products, was so they could have it in the off season of when the fruit was. So I feel like, you know, going back to that, like the fruit, you know, it's been a great use for bread and all of that kind of stuff, but it was really just to preserve that flavor. So it can be used for.
Hey, real quick, before we dive back into our guest journey, here's a reminder, if you're enjoying the Big Locals podcast and want to support the local community, please take a moment to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us share more incredible stories like this one. And if you know a local business owner, musician, artist, or whoever it is with an amazing story to tell, Encourage them to reach out to us at biglocalspodcast@gmail.com or biglocals.co. Awesome. I feel like we talked a lot about the jam sense. And, you know, to the average person, to the amateur like myself, like, I have no idea what the difference is between jam and jelly. Like, can you just enlighten us what the heck that difference is? And why did you choose jams over jellies?
Yeah, so I am a big textural person. So for me, choosing jam was the best option because you use the full fruit. So you're going to have the juice, the outside skin, or, you know, like the full berry. So it has a little bit more of that like textural to it. A jelly is going to be just the fruit. So, oh my gosh, just the fruit. Let me explain it so everyone don't confuse. So you're going to just use the juice of it. So, I mean, you're going to get rid of that like outside like pith or peel or any of that kind of things and just have like the flavor, I guess. So more of like a jello shot type consistency. You get the little wiggle. Yeah. And then, yeah, marmalades are the like citrus. So where you're using like the peels and like the skin of it all. And then preserves are like more full. So like where I blend my fruit all the way down, preserves are going to be more of that like full fruit.
Got it. Yeah. I totally forgot that marmalades were even in the same umbrella, that same category of like spreadable sweetness things.
Yeah.
Not even sure how to categorize it properly, but... But I mean, it's not just the jam. You were mentioning that there's peppers in here too. I mean, these are pepper jams. Why that combination? That's initially what attracted me to Yummy Lotus is like that sweet, spicy combination. Like, whoa, I got to try this out. So why that combination?
Yeah. I mean, I just love hot food and I also just love things that have like dimension. And I feel like with, you know, fruit jams in particular, like, you know what a strawberry tastes like, you know what a blueberry tastes like, you know, you're gonna get both of those flavors, but that's it. There's no real like excitement or surprise that comes with that. It's been done. You know, if there is a really great one out there, you know, like you've tasted it before. For me, I just wanted that surprise and that like evolution of flavor where you can really enjoy like one flavor to another and have that surprise that is gonna just like kind of wake up your taste buds. There's hot sauces and I'm a huge fan of hot sauces, but our flavor profile is a lot different from that. If you ever eat anything that is too hot and you're trying to dull the pain, sugar. You just take a spoonful of sugar. Water makes it worse. Milk will help. Any kind of dairy product is going to kind of dilute the heat a little bit, but sugar is actually what kills it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So being able to mix that, I have a lot more control over how hot it is based off of how much sugar I put in there. So some of like the really hot peppers, like a ghost pepper or a Carolina Reaper, where you have it in a hot sauce and it's just going to completely annihilate you and it's going to be so hot, I get to introduce the flavor profile of the pepper to people without having to like completely like kill their taste buds. So that's been really fun. Like I feel like people don't understand like how flavorful peppers are.
Yes, 100%. And I myself am a big fan of spicy food as well. I mean, growing up in San Diego, you kind of have to have that hot sauce tolerance, you know, that picante kind of feel to it. And having that translate into the jams was, let me back up a little bit here. That sugar combination with spicy, it's something that I would have never guessed. I mean, water makes sense because you're sort of spreading it around and you're making it worse. Milk is a base, like it's been more basic, and the capsaicin, the peppers are more acidic, so that sort of neutralizes it. But I don't know if you know the science behind it, but I kind of want to dig into it a little bit more. But why sugar? Why is this a good way to sort of dull that sense?
Yeah, well, I know that sugar is initially put into it because it's a preservative. So, I mean, nowadays you go to the grocery store and it's really quite sad how much, you know, stuff that we put in our food that helps like keep it like shelf stable. But adding that sugar to the fruit initially was a preservation. The sugar mixed with the acidity of like a citrus, so like a lemon juice or a lime juice, like those two combinations were the natural preservative. So as far as, you know, the sugar science behind it, I just know that it works. I just know that, you know, it's a tried and true. Yeah. But yeah,
it's almost like I mean, you don't have to know exactly how a car works in order to drive it,
right?
You know, if you just know how to turn on the ignition, gas, brake, and turn, you know, like 80% of how to, you know, get from one place to another.
Right.
So I feel like sugar is almost that same way with you. It's like, I don't know exactly how this works, but I know it does.
Yeah,
the results are there.
Are there. Yeah, for sure. That's why we have scientists and we get process letters for all of our jams, so you know exactly like that our recipes are safe and good. But yeah, the rest of it, I'm like, I'm not a scientist, but I love food and I know that I make it good.
The results speak for themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm super glad. And speaking of results here, I mean, my favorite jam of yours is the strawberry ghost pepper. I know there's a couple of other ones that I've tried every once in a while. It's like the mango habanero, I believe, and then the blackberry reaper. And so,
a blackberry serrano lime, and then it's our blueberry reaper. So they're two different ones. But yeah, the blueberry reaper is definitely, that one's one of my favorites because it's just such a big pop of flavor. Like the blueberries are more blueberry than a traditional blueberry. Like the heat on the back end is just so nice and like really just kind of encompasses your taste buds, but like without killing you. And so like that one just, I'm like, doesn't work. Like I tried to make just a blueberry lemon jam and it didn't taste the same. Like the balance that the pepper brings to the fruit is just really beautiful.
And I'm glad you touched on that too, because there's like, it sounds like you try different peppers with different sweet profiles. So can you sort of go through what that research and development looks like as far as why strawberry ghost pepper? Why mango habanero? Maybe you've gone through a couple of like, okay, here's a clipboard. You know, check off on this. This works. This doesn't work. And or maybe it's too strong. Like, because each of these peppers have like a Scoville level.
Yeah.
And each of these fruits maybe have a different sweet factor. So is there a reason why you chose a certain pepper to fruit combination?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a lot of trial and error. Like now that I am like a good, like solid 5 but 7 years into like making jam and recipes, like I have a really good understanding of kind of what is gonna work together or like a good place to start. But yeah, there's like the strawberry is so fruitful and so sweet up front. And the ghost pepper is that way because it kind of ghosts you. It's, you know, it's not there and then all of a sudden it is. And so you really get to enjoy that traditional fruit flavor up front and then it transitions into that heat. But a ghost pepper has a little bit more of a harsh burn. So choosing something that is super sweet up front kind of helps hide the harshness that it carries. To really complement them together. The habaneros are just super fruitful up front. Mango habanero is definitely my least unique flavor. It's one that I know everyone has seen before. It's a great hot sauce. You've seen wings at Buffalo Wild Wings tossed in it. But it's one of my favorites. So I was like, this one I just know I have to make in my line because it's just a tried and true. But yeah, that mangoes aren't super sweet. So the sweetness of the habanero that's up front on that really kind of helps combine in the front and then have that heat that lingers on the back end. And serranos are typically a little bit hotter than a jalapeno and have more of a consistent heat than a jalapeno has. But like in our blackberry, you get all of the pepper flavor, but not any of the heat. And that is thanks to like the citrus. So, you know, making that citrus kind of come through kind of on the serrano. So kind of playing around with recipes and, you know, figuring like how they work in that sense. really kind of helps develop, you know, our recipes. But each one of our jams has a different pepper and a different fruit that I combine. So I don't have like a line of jalapeno jams or a line of habanero jams. I really like each one to be able to stand on its own and be like, yeah, this is unique. So yeah, I choose to kind of individualize each jar as well as like my whole.
For sure. And it sounds like you are getting the best of the best. As far as fruits go and the peppers go, where are you sourcing them?
Yeah, so a lot of our peppers I actually source from New Mexico. There's a company called the Chili Guys that grow their peppers, and the climate down there is just really wonderful for those like really nice pepper flavors. But our fruits, we source a lot from the farmers markets and the farmers directly that serve there. So the Peach Shack and Top Fruit and Forte Farms are some of our top people that we buy from. So for our peaches and pears and apples, we go direct to them. So they're growing on Colorado soil, have some really great practices. Back to City Park, part of their farm initiative is really connecting those farmers to the customers and letting customers know how and where their food is grown. So I'm sure this is the same for a lot of the other farmers markets, but you can not only go direct to the farmers and ask them questions about, you know, their practices and, you know, how they grow their stuff, but they also, I believe, implemented like little like plaques at their booth stands that tell a little bit of a backstory on that. So if you're not necessarily an extrovert and want to go up and start those conversations, or it's a busier market and you just don't have the time to stop and share those, you can still learn a little bit about that, which is just super cool. Some of our stuff, like our mangoes, I mean, we're not in a climate where mangoes grow here. So, you know, we work with what chef wants, and they source locally and nationally, and sometimes throughout the world to grab some of those best products. But that company was actually started by a local farmer in Colorado as well. So even though it's become a bigger company that's now a national, you know, known name, they were that same kind of driven initiative in the beginning. So I think, you know, again, supporting local and, you know, trying to keep things as close to home as possible is important to all of us. So the more that we can do that, we definitely.
Yeah. And with you sourcing the fruit, especially with the local farmers, sometimes you're more subject to the seasonality than the typical, you know, person who buys that fruit, right?
Right.
So, I mean, let's say with the apple sense, I mean, everyone's harvesting nowadays and you came up with a jam based on the apples these days, right? Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about like what jams you like to have seasonally versus your main line?
Yeah, so cherries are a big one. Cherries are kind of like that beginning season, that like June, July, where they start to come out. We love to do a cherry Serrano jam. Peaches, I feel like there's the peach craze. You know, everyone waits for that perfect time. If you've ever had a peach off season, you'll never ever again. Like, it's not like some of the other stuff where you can get away with it. Like, a peach off season is not a peach. It's, I don't know. It's just not.
It doesn't feel the same. Yeah. You want to make sure you set that standard real high every time you try it.
Right, exactly. So a peach hatch chili, peaches and those chilies around that same time are prime. So we combine those to be that perfect like August flavor. Watermelons, we do a watermelon jalapeno. That is a jelly. I do make one jelly. I'm not opposed to jellies. I just prefer jams, you know. Then, yeah, right now we have apple pie. So bringing in those, that stone fruit, that apple, that really, you know, good in-season fruit, but adding those seasonal spices like cinnamon and nutmeg that really kind of start to transition into that fall holiday feel. And then we do a cranberry orange. So those are like our main, you know, top things that we create that are specifically based off of the farmers and what's fresh. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't get anything better than that. I feel like we have a really great following now and everyone loves our traditional lineup, but the craze that happens over the seasonals is like, when is it coming? Oh, you have a raspberry lemon lavender that I had like 2 years ago. Like, where is it? When is it coming? And so it's really fun to kind of be able to market that and to offer people that like really truly seasonal experience where you get to highlight those really good flavors.
Yeah, for sure. And I know we talk a little bit about like the complementary of that sugar and spice and everything nice all in one jar. Why? I mean, it's not just all spicy. I mean, there, you do have some jams here that have just a great body to it. Do you mind just talking a little bit about not just the pepper jams, but also just the jams that you have for those that are, might have a more sensitive palate?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like it's important to kind of, a great, you know, have a whole range, which is why like at the farmers markets, that's how we set up our products, is from sweet no heat all the way up to spicy. So you can kind of visually see as well, like, you know, where your spice level might land and where, you know, feel comfortable to start. But our strawberry grapefruit is one of my personal favorites that doesn't have any pepper. You get that traditional strawberry jam flavor, but then you get those really nice citrus notes on the back end of that grapefruit. It doesn't have any of like the bitterness or, you know, strong bite that I think a grapefruit has that people are kind of off put by. But by blending it with the sweetness of the strawberry, you really get to enjoy, you know, what the grapefruit has to offer without it being too intense on your taste buds. We also have a pear ginger, which is really, really great this time of year. You can add that dash of cinnamon on top, put it on some oatmeal to really highlight that fall flavor, but it's super good as like a toss for your veggies or a syrup alternative. And has just a little bit of that, you know, ginger to kind of cleanse and like rejuvenate your palate without being, again, too bitter or harsh. So I really like to just let the ingredients shine, but I guess dull them down enough for like people who are like, I don't really necessarily like that, might want to change their mind.
Yeah. And you talk with a really good linguistic range, if you know what I mean. Like, it's fun talking to people that are chefs or bakers or people that have produced food throughout a large portion of their life, because they have such a wide vocabulary for all the different components of what they create or what they eat, right? And so have you always had this sense, like maybe growing up, were you a picky eater, and or maybe like were you or did you just recently get more into that, let's say when you're in the restaurant biz, catering biz, or do you now take a stance that's even stronger now that you have Yummy Lotus on deck?
Yeah, it's a stance I definitely take stronger now, but I grew up with my dad always cooking. He makes phenomenal meals and has a palate that I'm kind of obsessed with. Like, I am definitely not the person where you could blindfold me and give me something and just like I off the bat know exactly what it is. Like, there are some really incredible people, chefs, and, you know, that have these taste buds that are just so on point. I always kind of tease now, especially making such like hot pepper jams, I'm like, my taste buds tend to lie to me sometimes. Like, every time I make a jam, I test taste it. I make sure that the recipe is where I want it to be. But with the Blueberry Reaper, every time without fail, I'm like, it's not hot enough. I don't know what's going on. Like, what's like these peppers, they're just not hot enough. Like, it's not going to be what everyone is anticipating. And my husband's normally in the kitchen with me, and so I'll make him try it. And he's like, it is hot as hell. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so I don't know. I'm envious of that part. But my dad, yeah, he's always been a really good chef. And then, so really good meals that just came across the table. But I agree with you. I mean, being able to talk about food in the way that I do has been something that has definitely been an ongoing evolution. But even still getting to talk to other chefs or some of the other makers at the markets that, you know, have a love and appreciation for food, I'm still in awe too. I'm like, wow, there's still so much I can learn. So
no joke.
I love
these
that.
Guys are like experts. Like it's almost like they're. I know we were just talking about Jesse over at Svelina,
yeah.
and how much her pasta made by hand is excellent when it comes to the dinner table. But she's such a humble woman coming into the space.
Yeah.
It's so hard to really pinpoint or get to know someone unless you really talk about what they're good at or what they're passionate about.
Right.
And maybe like for any other category, let's say for me, like I could try to get a conversation going, but if you talk about, let's say video games, real estate, Denver in general, then I will go off on
yeah.
you, you know?
Yeah.
So
it is really fun to definitely like pinpoint people's true passions because you can just see it in their eyes and all over their face. Like they're instant, like, yes, like I want to talk about that. And they just sit up taller and straighter. And yeah, it just is really, really exciting. But yeah, especially Jessie, 100%. She has her line of pastas and did a really beautiful branding job of some new boxes. But she makes a monthly pasta as well. Like, so she get her like tortellinis or raviolis and she uses fresh products to put in those. And it's my favorite. Like every time mm-hmm. she comes out with one, I'm like, oh, can I eat this like 7 times in a row? Like same day? Because like, it's just not enough. Like she does such a good job.
Yeah. I feel like I have to go on these runs because I'm a runner myself, but I have to go on these races in order to make up for the pasta eating that I do the night before. Carbo loading yeah. all the time. So I freaking love it.
Yeah, for sure.
As far as where to get Yummy Lotus, I know the farmers markets are ending, and by the time that this episode releases, it'll probably already be done, unfortunately, especially the City Park Farmers Market. I believe the last one is this coming weekend.
This weekend.
Crazy to me already.
I know.
So that's like the 27th, 28th. So people that are listening, I know it's sometime in the past for you, but you have a ton of carriers already, so you don't need to wait till the next farmer's markets to get Yummy Lotus. You're at Savory Spice, Terra Apothecary, Ruby's Market. Do you have a carrier that you're trying to work with right now? What's the next move for Yummy Lotus?
Yeah, so we actually have been connecting with Lever's Locavore, and I am super excited that they have approved our products to go on their shelves. So we're still in the works of kind of finalizing that and getting our product in there, but that's going to be like our first like traditional like grocery store type place.
Awesome.
All the other shops, you know, offer that type of thing, are definitely small mom and pop shops, but it's really exciting to kind of branch into that like next little level. Really honored. Lever's carries some really great local products and is actually, you know, I think one of the places to go if you're looking to try to pick up some of your favorite brands from farmers markets. They've got Lost Sauce, and I believe they've got PB Love, and they have Not Bad Sauces in there. And so they have some of my personal favorites. But yeah, we keep an updated list on our website under where to buy. And we also transition into holiday markets once our farmers markets end. So we've got about 16 shows that we're going to do all the way up until that 23rd of December. And then, yeah, then we're going to push for, you know, some website sales to keep people coming to our platform to buy our product direct from us, or at least, you know, check out that page where they can support our retailers that carry our stuff. So it's an honor. Every year I grow a little bit more. I get a little bit more recognition. I get into a few more spots, and I just am very, very honored. I started this business with the intent of like having, you know, something of my own to be able to pay my car. And like, that was it. I was a brand new mom, and, you know, I just wanted something of my own. And now I've become a big brand, and I just am so honored that people appreciate my product so much that I'm even here. So it's just a blessing.
Oh my goodness. That warmed my heart. I feel like seeing not just you grow along with each year, especially during COVID. Oh my gosh. Like that was a trip in itself, a fever dream, if you will, because
yeah.
I don't know if that even happened. It was crazy.
Right.
But speaking of like heartwarming stories, I'm sure with the several years that you've been in business now with Yummy Lotus that you've heard some stories now that you've heard from customers. Is there any in particular that have come up that you want to share?
I mean, I feel like every story that people decide to share with us is just super, you know, an honor to listen to, you know. I mean, the stories that people share of like, thank you, you know, you just, you know, made my life easier to be able to make these delicious things, or I was able to share your product and take it back home and people loved it. Or, you know, you give me a place to come to every weekend, you know, to be able to experience that community. Everyone is just super cool. I know that, you know, some people start off at the farmers markets to kind of do their like data and their customer trial. And I feel like being in it, I wasn't really sure if farmers markets was where I wanted to stay for forever or if that was kind of my avenue as well. But after just experiencing every aspect of it, I don't think I'll ever be able to leave. It's such a cool experience to be able to interact with our customers, you know, face to face and get that direct feedback right there on the spot. And to know that like, they can literally tell us on Friday, like, this is a flavor that I would really love to see. And then we could bring it to market within a month, you know, if we wanted to. And I feel like that's a really special thing to be able to like hang on.
Oh, that is so good. I feel like there's so much to learn, especially as the years go on internally, but also people that are looking into your business. And maybe this is something that I would like to ask you as far as if I were to just start out a product-based business and I just need to find a way to get into the realm, how to start branding or just getting people to know my product, how would I find a way into a regular spot into farmers markets? Or do you even suggest that be the first step?
I feel like it is a really good first step, but I feel, you know, like first, you kind of have to have your vision honed in. I feel like sometimes the you can use it as market research kind of gets ahead of the fact that like you still need to have a solid understanding of what your product is going to be. You still need to know, you know, what your branding is going to look like and have something that's going to stand out. But once you have those main basic factors down, I think a farmer's market is a great place to be. You know, sending in samples to the organizers, you know, writing a little, you know, bio on what makes your product unique, where your vision is, where you see yourself going, who you feel like your targeted market is a really great start of what to share with them, because they know who their clientele is, they know who they're serving in the community. And so to share that of what you're looking for could let them connect and know, okay, well, great. We actually make a really great fit outside of what your product is, but I love where your vision and who you're trying to.
Gotcha. I feel like there's that specialness part of it where you have to hear the story, you have to see the product and all that good stuff. And of course, make sure they're pleasant people at the same time.
Yeah. Well, yes, especially at a farmer's market, you can't just like be there. You have to show up there. Like, yes. You know, it's, yes. Yeah. I mean, part of it is definitely connecting. I've been listening to this really great podcast that is like farmer's market focused. They're actually organizers of the San Diego farmer's markets, but their whole thing is if you're just there to sell, you're going to have a really hard time because it is about community and connection and building that relationship and building that trust with people. So, you know, compliment people, ask them how they are, ask them, you know, what their day looks like, you know, treat them like a human being and not just a person to give your spiel to. And you'll really see a huge.
Yeah, so good. Like, treat people like humans. What a concept.
Yeah, I know, right? It's kind of sad that we have to reiterate it. But, you know, right. Here we are. And I think everyone deep down really knows. It just sometimes you get lost in your head and your own, you know, stuff. So it's a good reminder.
Yeah, I heard a really good quote too recently. It's sometimes we go to these podcasts or we go to certain research or other people that are above us that we look up to, And we expect something novel, something crazy, something that they've done before that no one else has done before, that they can then pass on that advice to us. When in reality, sometimes we just need to be reminded. Not that anything new has to happen. It's right. just we need to be reminded because we already know this stuff.
Yeah.
So I found that to be pretty insightful.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just need a reminder.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So last couple things, Alexa. So with next year, 2024, coming up, what does Yummy Lotus look like in 2024? And what does Yummy Lotus look like in 5 years from now?
Yeah. Oof. 5 years seems like so far away, but I'm sure I'm going to blink haven't even been in business and it's for 5 years already going to be here. So
yeah,
we have grown so much in the last 2 years. It's really, I feel like I'm kind of at that point where I've been in these like really big growing pains. So I feel like a little bit of like consistency would be really good over 2024. My big goals are to, I did 5 farmers markets this year. If I can get in, I would really love to do 8. I feel like that was kind of what I was shooting for this year and I was just shy. But just kind of reach the different regions, the little outskirts of, you know, where I want to be. And then I want to focus on, you know, the production. I have just got into a new kitchen space that has a 55-gallon steam kettle, and I bought myself a pneumatic piston filler to fill my jars. So I'm a little bit better awesome. Off in my production than I've ever been, and it feels really good. I feel like this year I was like just trying to get by, and you know, I was out of flavors, and you know, people were coming and weren't able to buy what they wanted, and that just like really just like gut-wrenching, like, oh, I'm so sorry. But now I've got 30 cases of every flavor sitting on my shelves ready to sell. And I feel just so good. So I think that just honing in on the production and just having like a really nice, stable, small growth year would be great for next year. But I think 5 years, I would really love to have my own production facility. I'd love to have more of a full-time staff, you know, where I can really, you know, keep bringing these people back to, you know, serve you guys at the farmers markets and to be behind the scenes building the brand and the recognition and those relationships. And I don't know, I love being a farmers market brand. I feel like right now that's kind of my focus on my growth. And I feel like the wholesale is great, and I definitely want to grow that and be in a couple more spots. But I'm not really quite towards that like big retailer vision yet. I feel like it's still very daunting, and trying to, you know, just make sure that I don't, you know, over promise and under deliver. So
100%. Yeah, I feel like with Yummy Lotus, it still has that like neighborly feel, you know? People coming into these farmers markets and see a smiling face and can actually taste the product as well versus just getting it at a grocery store. It's great for like that awareness and, you know, ease of pickup. But at the same time, you want to have that presence. So I completely understand like not losing that small business feel as you start to grow. Yeah.
Well, and I have such a specialty product too. You know, I'm not naive to the fact that I have a higher end product with a higher price point. And so I really am a niche product. Like I'm not going to be able to set my jams on the shelf of a grocery store next to Smucker's and expect someone to just pick my product. I think the statistics are like you have less than 5 seconds to capture a customer's attention in a grocery store shelf. And that is crazy to me. Like that's nothing. You're just a glance, you know? So being able to let people try our product and be that smiling face and that relationship. And, you know, once you have that, you know, then, you know, that might switch, you know, that product recognition on the shelf and, you know, being able to stand up to some of these bigger retailers will be, you know, plausible. But I think right now, I mean, food is a touchy thing. It's so crazy. And, you know, people's, you know, wants and needs are ever evolving, and their focus on organic and, you know, locally sourced and made, like all of these things are great things that are happening with our food products, but it's just such a quick change that can happen. So trying to make sure that you're top of mind and making the best products all the time is, you know, super important. Well, I know you've had, you know, quite a few guests, but Matt from Goody Get Rights, I was one of the people that you had on, but he has a brand new bakery that he's been doing, and I've only had the pleasure of going in once, but wow, his stuff that he is creating and making is phenomenal. He is definitely someone, yeah, to keep top of mind. Katie is my girl. She is working on her bitters and all of her, you know, different flavors and profiles. And I feel like that's another product that, you know, people are always like, well, how do I use this? And I feel like it's such a great, versatile product. Jessie from Sfoglina, her boxes and her pastas. And the fact that now I feel like I am around famous people. Jesse's been on TV. We've got Chef Dave from Samosa Shop, who's been on multiple times. We've got the ladies from Easy Vegan, who just had a huge run at a big TV show. There's just so many special people. I mean, literally go to any local farmer's market, start from one end, circle through. You're going to find some of the best products. Caitlin from Pints Peak. Have you literally, I've never had better.
Every time. Sorry. Yeah, every time I go over to these farmers markets, I now see the Pines Peak food truck now, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go.
Yes.
Yeah, see what they're up to these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's always got such great flavors. And what impresses me the most about her is that she makes every ingredient in her ice cream. So even if it's an Oreo ice cream, she is not going and buying Oreos. That woman is crafting her Oreos and putting them in her ice cream. Like, she goes above and beyond, and that to me is just so impressive. I mean,
yes,
small batch is always going to be better than big production, but, you know, her focus is ice cream, you know? So to buy the other ingredients and to put those in, you would expect that. But she's like, nope, start to finish, this is me. And I just, yeah, it's
admirable is the right word here. I know Caitlin's put a lot of love and time and even expanding into different things depending on the season too, like the apple donuts.
Yeah. Oh my peaches, gosh. That she just flavors. Could not make enough of. I know. Well, like, so.
Oh my gosh. Insane.
My girl, Carly, she works across from her at Pearl Street, and she is from Chicago, and she's like, apple cider donuts are like not a thing here. Like, I can't find anything here. And then she was across from Caitlin. She's like, it's the best I've ever had. And she's like, and they're here in Colorado. So, like, it's just so exciting. Like, I love it.
Love it. I'm glad that especially people that are in the small business scene, they're willing to push the boundaries here. They don't mind wanting to get out of the comfort zone, make things work, or just give it a shot.
Well, I think that's a big thing. I feel like we should turn this around and go to you about that, though, because, you know, it's not food, but with the real estate and all of your videos and investing and, you know, all the topics that you touch on in your reels on Instagram, I mean, it just is so refreshing to see someone trying to connect that way. I feel like a lot of times, you know, when you're a service-based business, people forget that, like, yeah, you're trying to build those relationships and, like, that trust. And there's so much that goes into purchasing property. And not only that it's one of the most expensive investments that you'll ever make, but I would love to hear just a little bit about you and where you're at, if you don't mind me turning it around on you.
I do not mind at all. That I am so honored to even be a guest on my own podcast. So I freaking love it. Yeah, it's honestly been a blast. Like, I don't like the typical conventional ways of being a real estate agent. Door knocking, cold calling, open houses. I feel like I'm interrupting someone's day, you know, where I'm like, hey, do you have an agent? Do you have an agent? Like, no, that is not something that I'm not hunting. I'd rather attract. And so through these reels, I mean, you're obviously watching them. I mean, you're talking about them, which is great. And so number one, it's like it's out of your time and you seek me out to watch the videos, or it might just come on your feed and you don't scroll away, which is great. But you see my face, you get educational value of it. I call it infotainment.
Yeah.
And you're also just getting an understanding of what the market is like at that point in time. And I also have a YouTube channel that goes through what the Denver market's like, what it's like living here, what the investments look like, if you want to have an Airbnb here or a second home and things like that. And so what I found statistically, like when I went to go do some research on YouTube, they, like the people that watch my videos, 25% of them are watching it on their TV. Like they're screencasting it onto their TV.
Yeah.
It's not like they're watching it on their phone. They're dedicating, like I picture like a couple or a family sitting down on a couch and watching my videos.
That's so cool.
Isn't that crazy, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like there's something there, and there's something with the new generation being in the 21st century where like, hey, my demographic that I want to work with as far as clientele goes are on social media and YouTube. When they're researching a specific city, it's not like they're going to like Wikipedia or right. citydata.com. Yeah. They're going to YouTube. And so, I mean, that's what I do as far as finding the best restaurants and what the market's like and all that good stuff. So,
yeah,
I'm honestly having a blast doing it at the same time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, and it's so crazy too, because like the real estate market and, you know, the interest rates and all that kind of stuff, I feel like there's been a lot of like fear in it, you know, with everything going up. And so being able to like connect and see like a real person giving real information and like bringing it back to like, what is tangible and what you can do. One of the videos that comes to mind is like the one where you were like, you know, a roommate, or, you know, Airbnb a room, or, you know, all these yeah. different options where like, it's not just about going out and investing in an entire property if that's not where you're at. I feel like you give yeah. levels to everything, which is so great, because everyone is always at a different level, and there's always, you know, a different point where you're at, and it's not just about like the big, and I love that. So you're doing a great yeah. job. I'm seeing all of this stuff. I did not know you had a YouTube channel though, so I will be going to that. But yeah, it's so good.
Yes. Thank you, Alexa. One last thing. I mean, ever since you just started talking about real estate, like you said, I started to sit up a little bit straighter. Yeah. My eyes sparkled a little bit.
Yeah, which is great. Yes.
Yeah. And us coming from San Diego, there's no basements over there. And yeah. over here in Denver, I'm like, dude, we got basements here. There's like square footage underneath the ground. Like, go rent it out. So your mortgage is not $3,000. It's now $1,500. So yeah. anywho, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, but, totally.
Well, thank you so much, Alexa. And even just turning the tables here and being the host for a little bit just warms my heart as well.
Well, so, thank you for letting me, because we all have to prop each other up, right? Which is, you already know, because that's all you do. You bring on awesome businesses. So, I mean, you deserve a little bit.
Appreciate that. So last thing, where can people find Yummy Lotus online, Instagram, wherever it might be?
Yeah, so our website is just yummylotus.com, and you can just at Yummy Lotus on Facebook or Instagram. And then, yeah, through our website, there are all of our retailer links, and then all of the events. It's a live calendar, so it updates automatically on everywhere we'll be every weekend. But yeah, so lots of fun places to find us.
I am super excited. Alexa, thank you so much. I'm Ian Jimeno, and I'll see you guys later.